Hello again, you're listening to The Business. You can contact us by text to 51551, by phone to 1850715150, email thebusiness@rte.ie or tweet to @thebusinessrte. Well, now we're joined by a woman who repeatedly appears in Fortune magazine's top 50 most powerful women in business. Kathleen Murphy shares the honour with the likes of Marissa Mayer and Sheryl Sandberg. Not bad company at all. Kathleen is the president of personal investing at Fidelity Investments. Her division manages $1.2 trillion of clients' money and employs 14,000 people. Kathleen, with a surname like Murphy, you must have some Irish blood.
I actually am almost 100% Irish. I was doing some research on my family tree recently before I came to the event at UCC and found there was a stray Scotsman in there, but otherwise 100% Irish. My dad was from Cork, his family, and my mom's family was from Kerry.
You grew up in Connecticut.
I did.
Was it a very strong Irish-American identity in the house?
In the house, in the town, in New England, absolutely. So one of six kids, and all with very Irish names. And we're very proud of our Irish heritage. And I was saying to someone recently, the Irish nationality is probably the most prevalent in all of the U.S. in terms of people identifying with a country. And as you know, every president from the United States that comes here, including Barack Obama, has somehow managed to trace somebody of Irish descent. So,
or we managed to trace somebody of Irish descent for him. But it works.
Yep.
UCC invited you to Ireland for an honorary doctorate. You're also giving a talk on women and leadership in business. How important an area do you think that is?
To me, it's critically important. I have a passion for it. In the U.S., and I think this is probably true in Ireland as well, women make up more than half of the workforce. In the U.S., women are graduating college at a greater degree than men. And yet, despite all the progress that's been made, women don't save as much. They don't have as much confidence as men in terms of controlling their wealth. And so in light of the position that I have, I'm trying to really reinforce, with all the hard work and the progress that women have made, make it work, make their money work for them by saving it and investing it wisely.
In your own family experience, was there anything that taught you valuable lessons about investment and about managing money?
There was a very important event. My dad died early at the age of 57 of a heart attack. I was one of six kids, three of which were still in college when my dad died. My mom was a nurse, and they had the traditional division of labor. My mom managed the daily expenses of the household. My dad managed the investments. So I saw real time what so many women go through in every country in the world, which is they woke up one day realizing they didn't know nearly enough as they should, and they weren't on the right path. And so seeing what my mom went through in that crisis gave me a lot of passion about helping women avoid that in the future. And there is no question that women, while they may control the budget in the household, the daily expenses, they completely defer to their husband too often on controlling the investments. And the problem with that is, first of all, women will outlive men on average by at least 5 to 7 years. The divorce rate, at least in the U.S., is over 50%. And so, on average, at some point in a woman's life, she will be the sole decision maker, and women are completely unprepared to know what to do to handle that.
Being prepared, is that about educating themselves or even just stepping up to have the confidence to go and do something about it?
I think it's mostly confidence. I think they're intimidated by financial services. I don't think the financial services industry has done them any favors. We've made it more complicated than it needs to be. The secret here is that it is not complicated. You don't need to pay somebody a lot of money to manage your money for you. You just need to have some simple rules, invest in some simple investments, and you'll be set. But I think women just don't take that step of getting involved because they lack the confidence.
What about women's ability as investors? Are they better at investment than men?
Well, you know, that is the irony. We've done some research on that as well. And over time, it's been proven that women are better long-term investors. So once they do get involved, they tend to have a long-term view of their investments. They don't try and make the trade of the day. They try and figure out what's going to make sense for them long-term. And so they are actually better investors.
So why isn't Wall Street full of women?
I know. I wonder the same thing. I think there's some challenges. I think part of it's cultural. We've made progress in terms of women in the workplace, but women have not moved up the ladder as much as they probably should. I think part of that is that women disproportionately opt out in terms of either part-time or taking off for some period of time to raise kids. And I think U.S. businesses have to be more flexible. If they want the talent pool, then they have to be more accommodating in terms of how that talent shows up at the workplace. Part-time, virtual, work at home. We have to do that in order to access the great talent pool that's available.
What about at the top of corporate America and women? We've all read about Sheryl Sandberg's bossy and ban bossy. What did you make of that?
Well, first of all, I guess I'm in a somewhat unique situation in that I run a large business and I report to a woman. So my situation, I guess, is somewhat different. You know, I've been fortunate in my career in terms of having opportunities made available to me. I know that's not the case in every industry. But at the end of the day, women do have face challenges in the workplace. There's no doubt about that. But I think that the heads of companies want results. And so once they give women the opportunity, if women produce, my personal experience has been you get rewarded. Because at the end of the day, they want results.
In your career, did you ever feel held back in any way?
No, I joke and say the only issues that I've had were completely self-imposed.
Your mistakes were your own.
Right, they were. I was lucky because I was given a lot of opportunities, and so I have no complaints at all in terms of my personal situation. However, I'm very aware of trying to make sure that we provide those opportunities to women, for example, in my organization.
What would you say did it for you in relation to the success that you've had in your own career? If there was one thing, how did you achieve it?
Hard work. I've told people, I can never be accused of being the smartest person in the room. And so, just hard work. And I have three signs in my office and that kind of define my philosophy. So the first one is attitude is everything. The second one is thou shalt not whine. Somebody gave me a big sign that I have on my desk that says thou shalt not whine. On the back of that sign is a bumper sticker somebody else gave me that I look at that says well-behaved women rarely make history.
Well, I'm sure many would agree with that, rightly or wrongly. And if one of the key things towards getting more women to invest and to take over the family finances and familiarize themselves with that, if one of the key issues is confidence, how do you change that?
So, first of all, trying to, from my perspective as a large financial services firm, free education. Whether it's on the web, so online education is so prevalent. We need to make it simple for people to get those basic rules. But I think for the woman, the end investor, it's really just getting started. It's at the end of the day, it's very simple to get started. It's basics. Save more than you earn. Save more than you spend. Save more than you spend. And then just invest it in something that you feel comfortable with the right asset allocation. That's it. And don't pay a lot in fees to do that. So there's very simple ways to get started. And then you can educate yourself over time. But I think the financial services industry has done a disservice by making it more complicated than it needs to be.
I mean, those basic rules apply to men as well.
Of course they do.
So is the industry in the future going to target its marketing and its information and its advertising more towards women to encourage that?
Yes. We are for sure. And we've learned that this is too much of a generalization, but it applies in terms of marketing material, in terms of your website materials. If you design it for a man, you often turn off women. If you design it with a woman in mind, you don't turn off men. Therefore, design it for women and you get both.
You catch them all.
Right.
What about the financial services industry in general? The global financial crash really destroyed the reputation and credibility of banking. Do you think that, financial services in general as an industry now is in a position to try and claw its way back?
It has to, right? And Fidelity did not have the issues that the banks had. And what was interesting to me in light of that was how our customers then turned to us. Trust became so important, and there was so little trust in financial services in general. And so those companies that did not have the issues in the financial crisis came out of this actually very well positioned. But what this, I think what this showed is that your reputation matters a lot. And if you look for short-term gain, short-term profits at the expense of your long-term reputation, you're going to pay. And I think some companies are dealing with that now. So for us, reputation and our brand is the most important equity we have.
Kathleen Murphy, thanks for joining us on the
Thank
program.
Thank you.